Okay. First of all, I want to welcome you all to the call. We really appreciate your interest in ACA, and we hope that this call will help clarify a little bit of information about ACA. My name is Shanda Sullivan. I am a relatively new member to ACA. I'm getting ready to celebrate 1 year of membership. Woo-hoo!
Congratulations.
So I'm excited. I'm excited about that. I've actually been in practice accepting clients since October of last year. So it's been about 4 months now. I found out about ACA because, well, let me start with my background first. I come from a banking background. I've been in the banking industry for about 12 years, and I was going to college when I was in banking and was taking the financial planning courses, and I received my bachelor's degree in that. And so I knew I wanted to be a fee-only financial planner, and I wanted to run my own business. And everybody thought I was crazy. I didn't know how to go about that. I just knew that that was my passion. That's where my heart was, and I wanted to help people. So I took the CFP exam, and I failed it. I'm not ashamed to say that because it was a learning experience for me. And so then when I found out I failed it, I said, what am I going to do? I didn't know if I should continue or if I should say maybe this isn't the right path for me since I failed it. So I remember sitting there when I received that letter and I said, what am I going to do? And so I started searching on the internet for financial planners in my area, and I sent like 6 of them emails. And I just said, I need some advice. Could you help me, please? I want to get into this field. Well, about 20 minutes later, a financial advisor actually called me. And I was very impressed with that. And it turns out he was an ACA member. So he invited me to come into his office, and we spoke for a little bit. And long story short, I began to intern with him. And so he taught me about ACA. And right at first, I'm sure I was like you. I didn't really understand what ACA was, but he helped me see what it was, and we actually went to a conference together that year. And so through him, I had decided that when I got my own practice, I wanted to be an ACA member. So that's how I found out about ACA, was from the advisor that I did the internship with.
And you took the test again and you passed, right?
I did.
There you go. Congratulations.
Yes, I forgot that one valuable piece of information. So, yes, I did. I continued to go on. And
Don't feel bad. I took it 25 years ago. Actually, it wasn't a test back then. It was 6 tests.
Oh, wow.
And then let it lapse and then just recently passed it again.
Oh, bless your heart. I was wondering about
people
that.
People thought I was absolutely crazy in the classes that I was taking. You know, you're doing it again.
Again, why? Right. So that's kind of how I got my start and joined ACA and found out about ACA. Do you want me to go on, Kathy?
Yeah, I think anything you want to describe about how your first year as an ACA member or getting your practice started, and you're doing great. And I just want to let everybody else know, this is the first time Shanda's been a host on one of these calls. She really wanted to do this, and it was wonderful to have her volunteer, but I don't think she thought she was going to be here all by herself.
Shanda, I was just curious, how long were you in the banking community?
Actually, I still am. Because it's a decision that my husband and I made to continue to work part-time. I'm very adamant about not going into debt with my business. I don't want any debt at all. And so working 2 days a week at the bank funds my business until I'm at a place where, and that's one thing that I just spoke with Arlene today, Kathy, about. This in August is when I will absolutely quit my part-time job. If I pick up more clients before then I'll be able to leave then. But, and the funny thing is in the banking industry, I don't deal with clients. I don't deal with trust or any other assets or anything, and you would think I would since that's my line of work. But when I started this bank, I wasn't going to college, and so I didn't know the career path. And I knew I was not going to stay at the bank. Now, if I had it to do all over again, I probably would have transferred to maybe the trust department so I could have got my work experience from my CFP earlier. But it didn't work out that way, and so that's fine. But it's just weird how it doesn't tie to anything I do now, really. But going back to, I wanted to start my own business. Whenever my internship ended, I was at a point in my life where I knew I didn't have enough experience to start my business, but I knew in my heart that's what I wanted to do, and I didn't know how to go about that. So I contacted ACA, and I kind of said, I don't really know what to do, but they kind of helped me. I didn't have as much thorough understanding about ACA as what I thought I did, because I didn't realize that they would basically hold your hand and walk you through the first year of starting your business. And when I found out that, I was just ecstatic, because, you know, you have to register with the state, you have to take exams, you have to get licenses, you have to do compliance issues and all of this. And I didn't know how to do any of that, but there's a checklist where you go through and your mentor will help you go through everything. And, okay, what do you need to do now, and have you done this, and that kind of thing. And so it was wonderful to work with Arlene this last year in helping me get those processes in order. And that was a major relief and very well worth the membership cost. So that is a huge advantage for here.
Hi, welcome. Who just joined on?
Hi, Kathy. It's Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Sorry I'm late.
That's fine. We're glad
Hi,
you're
Jim.
Here.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Shanda. I was just telling them about kind of how I started with ACA and how the first year of practice has been going and that kind of thing.
Good, great.
So I'm a very analytical person, so I would say the number one benefit to ACA for me has been the software. Because,
really? That's interesting.
Yes, because for me, whenever I started, I talked to several ACA members, and it's kind of, what software do I need? And, you know, do I need Morningstar? Do I need MoneyGuide Pro? You know, what do I need? And they pretty much all consistently said, don't buy anything except your tax software, because everything you need, use the ACA software. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So ACA has their own financial planning software then?
Yes.
Okay.
We have a retirement analyzer. We have a tax analyzer where you can do tax planning, and we have what we call a pyramid where you put your assets in, and it tells you kind of your allocation and that kind of thing for your investments. So
these are in the form of Microsoft Excel workbooks, my understanding, correct?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. They're not a program like you would have at MoneyGuide Pro or anything. These are all in the form of a fairly simple but effective Excel workbooks, from what I can see.
But they don't work on Apple products?
No.
I would expect if you had Microsoft Office on Apple, it would probably work. It may be a little funky, but that'd be my understanding.
Okay.
I know a lot of advisors do have Apples, and they do use the tools. And there are, you know, posts on the discussion forum about some of the, you know, the tweaks that you might have to make and that kind of thing. But, yeah, a lot of advisors do use the Apples.
Okay.
So I stuck with that advice, and I don't have any other software right now. Now, eventually.
So you create a new workbook then for each client, right?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. And then you put in their information, and then it populates the information that you need. Yes.
Okay. All right.
So now I haven't worked through every appointment with my clients yet, but I still feel very confident in using the ACA tools for the first few years. So I have pretty basic clients, and I really don't want complex clients. And so I'm very happy with the tools that we have.
Okay, and then at some point, Kathy, I'm just sorry for interrupting, but
no, you're fine.
do the members that have been around maybe 5 or 10 years grow out of those Excel workbooks and more into a MoneyGuide Pro or some other similar program?
I think it depends. I think, yes, there are a large number of members who, especially, I'm trying to say several different things at the same time. But, you know, we recognize that the way advisors are practicing is changing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, ultimately, I think, you know, our vision is to see the things that we provide to our members be cloud-based, because that's the way people are working.
That's the next question I was going to have is, ultimately, you want to have it on the cloud, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, it depends. I think Shanda made a really good point, and to some extent it depends on the type of client that you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
I know our members who are in very high-tech areas, they really, their clients have certain expectations, so they might move into other types of software more quickly.
Okay.
This is Jim. That's a great point. I've been, not to interrupt you, Shanda, just I'll let
oh,
you get
no,
back to your
fine.
Spiel. I've been a member for about 5 years, and my partner started the firm 16, 17 years ago with Cambridge, and we still use the basic tools. She had gone out, and she has used off-the-shelf programs like MoneyGuide Pro, and she found for our clients, the basic tools are what they got, they just understood. They didn't need the fancy, all the graphs and the charts and all this stuff.
The 70-page reports that nobody reads?
Exactly.
Right.
The stuff that ACA provides is very intuitive. It's a one-page. Clients can sit there in your office and understand it and use it.
Good.
Is there an example of this on your website?
Good question. Let me work on that for you, Julia, to get you an answer.
Okay.
And Shanda or Jim, if there's other questions, or Jim, if you want to just talk among yourselves, I'm going to go look on the website.
Okay.
Go ahead. What?
I was just going to say I'll let Shanda finish
okay. What
she was presenting.
Was that Russ that was just speaking a minute ago about the 70-page report, or was that Ray?
It was Ray, yeah.
Okay, Ray. I wanted to comment on that because one of the reasons that I don't use some of the other software is because I don't believe in those 70-page reports.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, the client gets bored, they don't really care, just tell them what they need to do, and they go on there and do it and go on. Most
right.
of the time. But
right.
also, I'm a firm believer in your client's circumstances are going to change. They can change weekly. They can change monthly. Of course, they're going to change annually. So to print one of those huge reports out, by the time they get to the 35th page to make the changes, then something else could have changed on page 5, and so the whole report is invalid. And so that's why I don't like to use those tools.
Okay.
That's another reason, not to mention they're very expensive. Another thing that I really love about ACA is the forms that are available. We have a collective knowledge not only of things that, you know, basic knowledge in our mind, but we also have tangible forms and documents that you can pull from other advisors. For example, the other day I needed a preparation engagement form for my clients to sign to do their taxes, and I didn't have one created yet, so I went to the ACA website, and I pulled one off. I changed a little bit of the wording, and boom, it's done. I didn't have to hire an attorney to write my contracts. They were already in there. They just needed to be changed to my business, my privacy statement. There are just all kinds of things, disclaimers to put on my website. I pulled from the ACA website. So it's amazing the database of documents that you can retrieve. And a lot of them have already been approved by compliance. people that we have or attorneys that someone else has hired to approve it. And so my worry about legalese, I don't have that worry. I trust it's already been reviewed. It's okay. And then the third thing that is really extremely important is the knowledge of the other ACA members. We have a discussion board, several different discussion boards, that if you have a question, then you can post that discussion and people can respond to it. You won't always get a response on the discussion board. Sometimes I have had advisors email me directly with a response or even call me directly with a response. So being able to reach out to your colleagues in situations where, hey, I have an idea, what do you think about this? Or you come up with a question for a client that they've asked you and you've never dealt with it, but you might have 25 advisors out there that have dealt with that exact circumstance and can give you feedback or let you know, hey, I found the information here. Here's the link to read more about it. So that, those three things are extremely important for me in joining ACA.
Do you find yourself networking and referring pieces of the business you're not comfortable with or not knowledgeable of to other ACA members in the area and then vice versa?
Yes.
Let's say, for instance, you don't have a comfort with estate planning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could you find an ACA member in the area that, quite frankly, that's their expertise, their specialty, whereas you might be more involved in insurance planning and they don't like that? Do you find that?
Uh-huh. Yes. You know, the thing about it is the advisor that I used to internship with, he lives in my city, and we are the only two ACA advisors in Oklahoma. And so to be in the same city together is kind of strange.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever we had always been friends and stuff after the
internship. There's only one city in Oklahoma anyway, so.
Okay, I live in a city, not a town. I'm proud of it. But anyway, before I joined ACA, I found his attitude to change a little bit. I mean, we still talked and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I told him that I had joined ACA, he completely switched. And he was talking to me about all kinds of stuff again, and I was just like, wow. And he even told me, well, now that you're an ACA member, I can share this information with you.
Okay.
And we do share referrals. On my end, it hasn't worked out, the people that he sent me. I don't think it's worked out on people that I have referred him to him. But, yes, we do. We certainly do share. And it may not be a situation that we're not comfortable dealing with. It may be just a conflict of a personality.
Right, right.
And, yes, and I know other advisors do that, definitely.
Okay. I mean, that's one of the challenges of being an independent. You can't be expert in everything, right?
Correct.
Well, that's just kind of it, though. With the folks, the clients that we attract, you can kind of be a jack of all trades, but what we tell people is that when a new client comes in, we're very frank and tell them that, you know, at some point in this relationship, you are going to stump us with something, a question, an issue that's going on with your finances. We're not going to know the answer, but we know who does know the answer.
So you become more the project manager or the resource to get them the answers.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You will get to know folks in this organization through committees that you may be on, going to a conference, going through training. You'll get to know who is good at what. So when a situation comes up, oh, this guy's coming in with incentive stock options. I remember studying them for the CFP exam. I don't have a great working knowledge of them, but I know so-and-so out in Denver, they work with a lot of these folks. I will call him.
Can I ask you, how many ACA members are there currently?
150-ish.
150. I'm going to backtrack just a minute. You were talking about the forms that were being provided, and I was wondering what kind of compliance support ACA provides to its members. Does it provide client service agreements, that sort of thing, up front? Are there monthly meetings? If you could just, because compliance is one of my big concerns as I'm sure it is most people's.
Yeah, I'm going to let you respond to that one.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. They provide all the client agreement forms.
Okay.
That's been reviewed by a compliance attorney.
Okay.
And going through the training program, they will teach you how to set up a business, how to do compliance, how to set up an office. So that is all included. You know,
okay.
Some folks, when I was setting mine up, I did not seek out a compliance attorney. Some folks will. There was enough resources I was able to garner from the training and from stuff on the website from other planners that I was just able to do my own compliance starting out.
Do they provide compliance updates, you know, like periodic updates, here's what's going on, here's what you need to be looking for, that kind of thing?
Not so much that, because the problem is, you know, it depends on what state you're going to be in.
Right.
Okay, that's true. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, it's so state-specific. So where that comes into play, it's funny you mentioned that. Our local, I don't know if you've heard of NAPFA, the National Association. Okay. We have a study group that meets every month, and once a year we have the securities director for the state of Ohio come out and speak to us.
Oh.
And just come out and, you know, a lot of it's just kind of give and take and questions, and she'll mention some of the things that we need to look out for that have come up in audits, and here's what you need to look at. And so we get that just from other colleagues and right from the securities division chief who comes out to our meetings once a year.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. Thank you.
Sure.
Now, Julia, I'd like to add to that. There are a lot of states that have a lot of advisors, and even if they don't have a lot of advisors, they have formed their own group within their state, and they have meetings, they have conference calls, or they have like a mini conference together for a day or so where they will talk about things in the state, talk about clients that they have and that kind of thing. So they kind of have their own mini support group together. And
okay.
So that's where a lot of the state compliance issues will be brought up. And anytime somebody comes in, anytime they get audited by the state, then there's usually feedback on the discussion forum or within that group. So everybody else can be attuned to what they're looking for or flags that they saw, that kind of thing. So that information is very widely shared.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
My name's Jim Davis. I just wanted to give just a minute or two introduction of how I found ACA, why I became a member. I'm actually a client of an ACA advisor. That's how I found out about this.
Okay.
I was in a totally unrelated field, and my wife and I started working with an advisor about 10 years ago. And I just kind of liked the process. I always was interested in personal finance, so the more we worked with him, the more I decided that that's what I wanted to be when I grew up, so to speak. So I am a career changer, and it's not a coincidence that ACA attracts a lot of career changers.
Right, that's what I am too.
Okay, good. That's what the organization has been really known for going back to its beginning. After I got my CFP studies and tests done, I was doing some research. Hey, you know, I've been a client of an ACA planner. Am I going to be an actual advisor under this model? So I was doing research and due diligence. And what I was told, and it just made a lot of sense and really clicked to me, what I was told is that when you become a member, you're basically buying a business in a box.
Okay.
Where all the resources and the tools will be there to teach you not only the financial planning techniques, but also how to set up an office, how to run a profitable business. Now, I'm not saying that you sign up and the phone will start ringing off the hook with clients. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is...
They don't come in the box,
they
too.
Don't. They don't. You think they would.
Is that an extra $5,000 for that?
Right, right. That's the class. That's the gold membership. No, I'm just kidding. But the resources are there to teach you how to attract clients, of how to build a good practice, how to be a business owner. So that was very attractive to me, again, being a career changer.
So during your due diligence, you surely ran across the Garrett Planning Group. I mean,
sure.
in a nutshell, what would you say are the basic differences between the organizations?
What I found, what attracted me, is the business model of ACA working with clients on a long-term basis.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Garrett model, well, I know the Garrett model, is more geared for advisors that work with clients on more of a project-based relationship.
Okay.
A client will have one or two issues. They come in for a couple hours. You sit down, come up with a game plan, send them out the door, and they're off, you know, executing the plan. And they may be a repeat client, maybe a couple years down the road. They need to check in and do another
right. Setup.
With this type of model, with ACA, is you're building up long-term relationships. So you're spending a lot of time, you know, acquiring clients in the beginning, but most likely the clients that you acquire in year one, you're going to have them in year five, year 10, you know, 15 years down the road. So once you get to the point where you get, you know, a dozen clients under your belt, then you start getting referrals, and you're not always having to go out and beat the bushes to attract new clients. And plus, because they've been clients, you know, for years and years and years, you really get to know them and how they tick, their personality. You can really do a good job for them. You really
on average, how many clients would a established ACA member have?
That's hard to say, because we have folks that want a little lifestyle practice that have maybe 20 clients. They work by themselves. Maybe they're kind of semi-retired, and that's all the work they want to do. We have folks that come in and say, I want to build an empire. I want staff. I want planners underneath me. I want to have 150, 200, 300 clients down the road.
Now, let's just say the average sole practitioner that may do some occasional referrals back and forth, you probably would have 50, 60 maybe?
Yeah, you get to about 40 or 50, and that's enough work where at the very least you're going to need an admin person
to
do a lot of the back office work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I'd say it kind of caps out at 40. It kind of depends on how much you want to work and how efficient you are doing the work. What I can tell you is our personal practice, and I think this is fairly common, is the attrition rate year over year of clients renewing their contract is very low. We'll have, on average, about 95% of our clients renew every year.
Wow, that's great.
It really is.
And again, follow-up question, on average, what's your annual retainer fee for, you know, a typical client? I know it may vary from X to Z, but on average, what do you normally realize in an annual retainer from a client?
You know, I would guess, it's a spectrum from A to Z, literally.
Right.
But our first year fee, on average, is probably around $6,000, and our ongoing fee for folks who are already clients, that's probably an average of about $3,500.
Okay.
Typically,
yeah.
the way we price it is. I'm not saying we as in my practice, but as ACA in general, the first-year fee is going to be much higher because you're doing a lot of the legwork.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second year on, maybe it, you know, anywhere from 60 to 70% of the first year fee, because you're getting more into a maintenance mode.
Mm-hmm. And how many of the AC members would also have assets under management with a fee?
You know, there are the ACA model is taught and based on the retainer approach, but there's definitely folks that do AUM,
right.
Either AUM exclusively. I would guess the people that do AUM have a block of business of just AUM and then a block of business of retainer clients and a mix and match.
Yeah, the only problem I have with AUM is that then the planning becomes focused solely on investments.
Exactly.
And there's lots of other things that are not tied to investments that you need to focus on.
Absolutely. And that happens when we bring on new clients on board that have been with another fee-only planner, but it was just the assets under management engagement. They come on board, and they're surprised at the work that we can do for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really a huge benefit. One client we brought on board, he'd asked his previous planner of when he should take Social Security and what the impact would be on his taxes and cash flow, and she couldn't really give him a good answer. And we just spent one of our meetings was just sitting down and saying, okay, if you take it at age 62, here's what we're looking at. You know, full retirement age, here's what we're looking at. So we just spent a whole meeting just playing around with the numbers and what if and things like that. And he's like, wow, I didn't know you guys could do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because his previous planner could not or would not do that for him.
Right.
You know, and the AUM model, it can be a conflict of interest.
Absolutely.
If you have someone who says, you know, I want to take out a chunk of money to do a huge charitable donation fund. Well, that money's coming out of their AUM fees, or if someone wants to pay off a mortgage. You know, that's going to come out of their investment accounts and, you know, obviously bring down the AUM fees. So there are definitely some conflicts of interest there.
Yeah, good point.
Russell. So I have a question that's totally unrelated just in looking through your website earlier. There was a mention of a list of vetted and suggested no-load funds, I believe, that you all encourage to be used. I'm wondering what fund families those are.
It's not actually encouraged to use. It's it's a committee of folks, of ACA folks who have kind of a strong investment background.
Right.
Put together a list of recommendations of funds if you need help. If that's not your strong suit, here's a list of funds broken out from a short-term bond fund to a large-cap fund to an international fund and everything in between.
Okay, so it's just kind of a helpful thing. It's
exactly.
Not recommended. Exactly. It's just saying if you're not comfortable with this, these are ones that we are comfortable with.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of members that use that as a starting point, but then do their own due diligence and research beyond that.
Right. What do you have any software available that would help with researching funds like Morningstar, or do your advisors not use that?
Folks use, you know, there's all kinds of services out there.
Right.
You know, what we do, we use mostly passive funds through a company called DFA, Dimensional Fund Advisors. And we tell clients that, you know, their net worth, their finances, the most effect is going to be from what they do. Are they saving enough? Are they living within their means? Have they bought a right-sized house? It's not going to be investment returns. So our approach with clients is say, hey, we're going for market returns. We use a few active managers, but mostly it's passive investments. We're just going for market returns.
Right.
We're not concerned about hitting home runs and We're concerned about hitting for a good average, an occasional home run, but not striking out a bunch.
Right, right. Okay, all right. So you don't use Morningstar in your practice then at all?
We use something called Steel Mutual Fund Reports. It's information that's gleaned from Morningstar.
Okay.
But there's, you know, folks use all kinds of, you know, Morningstar, just kind of the basic subscription. Some use Morningstar Office. You know, some folks just really like getting really low in the weeds on investments, so they like doing a bunch of research. That's not our value. Our value is making sure clients are doing the right things, making sure we're trimming their tax bill, and make sure that they're doing the things they need to do to get from point A to point B.
Now, do you all, do most of the ACA advisors do their clients' taxes for them?
You know, I've heard maybe two-thirds. I don't know how accurate that number is.
I think that's pretty good. I would say between two-thirds and three-quarters at this point do include tax preparation services.
Okay.
It's not required that you do so.
Right, right. Okay.
I was nervous about that because I had never, before I joined, I didn't even do my own tax return.
Right. I used to do mine, and then it just got a whole lot easier to go in and sit for a few minutes with the accountant, ask my questions, and write them a check. So.
Exactly.
And some advisors actually don't like doing the tax returns, and so they actually hire an accountant to do their client's tax returns for them.
Okay.
They get the tax returns back, call the clients in, and then they sign the documents and that kind of thing. There's not very many that do that, but some of them do that just because they don't want to do the tax returns.
To be honest with you, most CPAs and accountants have back office staff that use essentially the same programs that you could buy off the shelf through TurboTax. I mean, they're a little more sophisticated, but for the most part, they've got a back office staff feeding in the data and spitting out a report.
Right.
Unless you've got a fairly complex client that needs some, you know, rather unique handholding. That's what most CPAs do now.
You know, keep in mind, and this is what we tell clients, is the real value that we provide on taxes is tax planning.
Right.
Which we do throughout the year. You know, tax prep, that's making sure, you know, the numbers are pretty much cooked at that point. It's getting the numbers to show up in the right boxes. Now,
so your tax prep would be part of the retainer fee that
correct,
you guys would charge?
Correct.
Okay.
Now, having said all that, as far as a practice standpoint, that's one more time that they're coming to see you to drop off their tax stuff, to sit in for the tax prep appointment where you're going through the tax return. It just provides a little more stickiness to the relationship.
Right.
Where it's just one more time where they're coming to see you. And quite frankly, it gives us a better look into their finances.
I could see that.
Yeah, you get into the nitty and gritty of doing their actual tax prep. Last April doing a tax return and was working on a client's itemized deductions, and I saw how much she listed she was paying for a Medicare supplement policy. And I didn't have any idea what she actually should be paying. It just seemed kind of high to me. So I mentioned something to her, and we have a contact in town that does this kind of stuff, and ended up saving her a nice chunk of her premium every month, plus she got a better policy out of the deal than she had. It's just one of those little things I was able to pick up just doing her tax return.
As part of ACA, part of the membership is a required training course on tax preparation, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, even if you don't plan on including tax preparation, it still is part of the training just because there is such a strong tax emphasis. I mean, there's not very many financial decisions that don't have a tax impact.
Yeah.
So we feel like at least, you know, having going through that training really is a good preparation, whether or not you're actually the one who ends up preparing the return.
Do you guys attend the annual meeting? And if so, what do you find of most value?
This is Jim. I attend every year. That's something I do not miss. I try to go to NAPTA Nationals every year and the ACA Update Conference. If it's only one, it's the ACA Update Conference. For a couple of reasons, it's obviously the content is going to be geared to our practices because it's, you know, put on by ACA, but also to further connect with this brain trust of the membership, to reconnect with your colleagues, to meet the new people coming in the organization, to find out who's good at what. So it's wonderful. It's something I don't miss.
Do you guys also, for the most part, the ACA members belong to FPA?
I dropped my membership a couple of years ago.
Okay.
Our local FPA chapter, I used to go to some of the meetings, but it was mostly commission guys. So I'm much more aligned with NAPFA, the fee only, and then specifically ACA.
I am an FPA member, and I kind of feel the same way that Jim does. I don't get a lot out of the organization. Our chapter really is not that wonderful. It's it's geared to commission also. But I do continue to go because there's always that possibility. We have a lot of visitors that come.
Right.
And, in fact, in December, whenever I went, I spoke to a lady that was in the healthcare industry, and she was just pounding me with questions about her finances. So you might just find a client in an odd place that you would never think. She did not become a client, but maybe one day she will. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, and not to mention it, you know, it's continuing education too. And I also, when I went to the conference, the ACA conference last year, we kind of had a breakout discussion about, I can't even remember what we were discussing, but it led to one advisor actually went to met each one of the NAPFA members in his area specifically because a lot of them require a minimum net worth, and he does not. And so he met with them because if there's anybody that comes to them to meet them and they don't meet their minimum requirements, then they can send them to him.
Right.
And so I thought that was a wonderful idea. So, you know, that's kind of something that I carry through at the FPA meetings, too. Maybe I'll run into someone there that, you know, that I can get referrals from.
That's a great idea.
One thing I've enjoyed about belonging to the FPA is their member discussion forums and their daily emails. I don't know if you all get those or not, but it's pretty
helpful. They're pretty helpful.
Yeah, don't you think so? There's a lot of questions that come up there.
I mean, I'm being in the Chicago area, we have three chapters here of FPA, and it's pretty strong. I mean, I also live about a mile from the NAPFA corporate headquarters, so.
Oh, good.
You got it covered.
I do.
Our discussions are actually the same type as the FPA ones. You can choose which discussions that you get daily, and you get a daily email of the thread also. And that's and I agree. I see where you're coming from in there because it is very good to read through those and just educate yourself. Even if you don't respond in the discussion, just educate yourself on other people's situations that they come across.
And I presume the blogs on ACA's member website are pretty comparable, that you're going to have a lot of content that is good to review and share ideas with.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
Have you been able to find me an example of that worksheet that you all use, the Microsoft Excel worksheet?
Oh, Kathy, I think you were seeing it.
Yeah, what I found on the website is really just on the basic website, I've just found a PDF of one, and there was a second PDF that I kind of looked at. I went, okay, that one hasn't been updated in a while. What I can do, though, Julia, is we could schedule I think this might be more useful to you, like a screen share, a GoToMeeting type thing.
Okay.
And I can actually, you know, show you.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, why don't we do something like that so where your questions can really get answered. So
that would be wonderful. I would appreciate that.
Sure.
You know what, Kathy? What might be really good, I don't know if you're allowed to do this. Well, you're the executive director. You can do anything. is give them the link to Chip Simon did a call on the Retirement Analyzer a year or two ago.
Okay.
It was a wonderful call. Because he's using that. It's a tool provided by ACA, and I was using it one way, and he's using it about 9 different ways. And it just blew me away. So if you're able to send them a link to that call and the Adobe Connect,
yeah,
they could see it. It was wonderful.
Okay, thanks. That's a great suggestion. I will, let me look that up, and I know I can figure out some way to get it outside of our kind of firewall so that you can take a look at it. So.
That would be so great. Thank you.
Sure. So any other questions?
I am looking down my list right now. I think you addressed most of them.
He's only got one more. Where do I sign? No, I'm only kidding.
Yeah, here is the big selling point for me is the actual, I don't want to sound real cheesy or anything, but it's the actual community of people. You're part of what your membership fees are paying for are the access to some wonderful planners that will spend the time with you if something comes up. They are a wonderful bunch of people. And you will get to know people, and you will get to know what they're good at, and you can call on them anytime. At my first conference I went to, they had a little special cocktail hour for first-time attendees, and there was a planner there who had been in the Alliance for several years, built up a very good practice, and he made a point of saying, you know, this is what you're paying for, is access to all these people. And he said when he was starting out, he had about 5 people that he got to know through the organization on a speed dial, literally on a speed dial. And he was hammering people with questions, and they were really happy to help him out.
I do have one more question, and I am now trying to multitask as the troops are heading back into the house here, so I apologize. No work, no school today, and a husband going out of town this afternoon. So.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, he's getting to go to San Antonio. How is that fair? anyway, on your website, when we're talking about the membership fees and requirements, on year one, there is a range of between $4,500 and $7,500, depending on the support program that you qualify for. Could you elaborate?
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. The membership dues themselves are $3,000 a year.
Okay.
But as a new member, there is that range of training and support, and it really it's based on where you are in the development of your practice. Because we get new members everywhere from starting from scratch. Kind of what Shannon was describing earlier, don't really know how to handle the RIA issues, want all the startup support that they could get for their practice.
Okay.
So we get new members in that situation. We also get new members who have a established practice, but maybe they've been using AUM and they want to transition to a retainer-based model. So the training and support needs are different depending on where you are in your kind of in that practice life cycle.
Okay.
And that's what it reflects. Obviously, someone starting from scratch who wants the, and needs that maximum level support, that's going to be the higher end of the range.
Okay, that helps a lot. Thank you very much.
Kathy, this is Ray. This has been terrific. I appreciate the time and the effort. Clearly, the passion is there among your members, and thanks for the time. I've got to drop off now.
Okay. Well,
thanks again.
We're about at time anyway. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ray.
Great to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. And
Julia, I will follow up with you.
Okay, that would be great.
You know, with the link to that recording. And I know I don't think we haven't had a chance to have a separate conversation. And if you know, have other questions specific to training and membership and, you know, some of the details, we can set up another time to talk.
So. That would be great. I'm sure I will. But right now, off the top of my head and according to my notes, I think you covered most of what I was looking for right now. So I believe you have my email that you could send that link to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
I will look for that and just take it from there. So
perfect.
I, too, appreciate your time very, very much.
Jim
and
Shanda,
have any
thank
questions,
you.
Feel free to email me at jim@partnershipfinancial.com.
Jim@partnershipfinancial.com. Thank you very much.
Oh, sure.
And Julia, you can me as well. Mine's a little longer.
Okay.
It's Shanda, Shanda.
I'm sorry, spell that again. Shanda?
Shanda.
Nda, all right.
At Sullivan Financial Strategies.
Wow, it is long.
.com.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you for joining the call. We hope to see you soon.